Ladies and gentlemen, this week, episode 75 of the Mini PC Show, will Bill Gates take over Raspberry Pi world? How do you record HDMI video? Are we going to get Android on the Raspberry Pi as an official release? Tune in to find out. Hello, Mini PCers, and welcome to episode 75, Big Talk, Small Machines. How are you, Dor?
Hey, Rich. I don't want to go into any details. I'm okay. I'm not, but I'm okay enough to do a show.
Oh, man. Well, I'll have to find out what the dirt is. But I got to tell you, I'm living the dream. I'm at the Hughes Compound Southern Command for a week.
Oh, that's awesome. Good news.
Oh, my gosh. I hate to be like such a, and this is going to sound rude in a couple of different ways. One, I'm probably living in the cheapest apartment or, you know, cheapest room in an apartment on the planet that's safe. And so I'm paying a very small amount a month for, you know, it's one step above camping because it is a 50-year-old apartment and I'm renting a room. But the idea is like, hey, this is my bachelor crash pad for at work and I'm saving money and paying bills. But the Hughes Compound Southern Command is super nice and it is really nice being here.
Ooh. Well, maximizing profit is always a good thing. And then enjoying what you got is also really good.
Ooh, and better yet, the my favorite vehicle on the planet, not really, but the one that I own, that's my favorite. My Genesis Coupe got fixed, and it looks great, and I'm going to be taking that back to Jackson, Michigan with me.
Very cool, very cool. That was 2 days of roughly 18-hour driving?
It's a 19-hour drive. I took off at 10 o'clock Thursday night, and I got here just before 9 p.m. Friday. And I'll tell you what, I was a little ticked. I got one of those urgent calls. They want my resume for this job, blah, 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 and they wanted it rewritten. So I pulled over, you know, got food, got gas, bio break, and, you know, sat in the car and, you know, tethered off my phone and rewrote my resume and upload. Didn't hear back from. So I burned an hour, you know, which is an hour I could have been here or sleeping or something. And I'm like, from now on, I'm like, I'm not doing that. That's not happening.
I can't blame you.
But I did have, so Saturday, I had a guest at the Hughes Compound Southern Command, which I was real excited about. And I was hoping he would have been able to spend more time. Murph, New Jersey, or Murph NJ dropped in for a visit.
That's awesome. He's a really good guy.
Super nice guy. I mean, he's, dude, don't get me wrong, and I'm not kissing up to you because I just like the bucks that I make from, you know, working the Mini PC Show, but you are definitely one of my favorite people to hang out with, and whether just doing the show gets me some door time to talk and be at Shoot the Breeze with later, that's a great reason to do it. But Murph is a super nice guy, and he's one of the guys I'm, you know, hoping to spend time with at a, you know, convention in the future.
Exactly. Yeah, he's at virtually every event I've been to, except for Linux Fest Northwest, I believe, which is a very, very long motorcycle trip for him. But every event where I'm there and he's there, he's having a good time. He loves bringing board games. I try to play board games, but Lord, I suck. But it's fun playing games with him.
Oh yeah, yeah. And he said he's going to be at PenguinCon, and unfortunately, I'm very within striking distance of PenguinCon, but is it the 4th, 5th, and 6th of May, something like that, and my dad's 90th birthday is May 9th, so I'm not sure if I'm going to swing both, and there's one I definitely got to be at.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I look at conferences like podcasting. Work should always come first. Family always come first. A lot of other things come before podcasting or conference events. It's the kind of thing, if you can make it, it's a plus. If you can't, don't stress about it, because there's always more.
Yeah, there's always more. And, you know, just it's one of those things, it's opportunistic that, hey, I'm very reasonably within driving distance to PenguinCon, and I may not make it.
Well, I'll say there is definitely some good people there besides Murph. Also, Kevin O'Brien, I believe, is right around the corner. Mm-hmm. So, and I believe 50 is going to go out of his way to make sure he's there. 50 has been the conference junkie here as of late.
Yeah, I actually, you know, I record tilts before this, and I didn't see him in the chat. So I was looking to talk to him. Yeah, and part of my planning, and I hate to go 2A on you, but I want to bring my space rifle and the accompanying pistol, because PenguinCon, the Friday, they do a range or a firearm thing at a gun range locally. So I was going to bring my PS90 and the 5.7 pistol with me. But now I'm like, gee, should I bother?
I don't know. It's Detroit. You'll just fit in.
Right. And so my challenge is, I've been to Jackson, Michigan and back with my GMC Envoy. And now I'm going there with my Genesis Coupe. And so whatever I'm taking back with me has to fit in the Genesis Coupe. And one of the requirements on my trip back was, I don't recommend anybody do this. I just found some place dark and pulled over when I felt tired. And, a smart person would check into a hotel for the safety features. I probably will get a hotel on the way back, but if I get tired, I like to be able to pull over and just take that 15 or 30 minute nap. So the requirement is, like, in the truck and in the car, that I'm able to recline the seat to take that nap. So that does limit the space a little bit more as to what I can pack with me. So I'm getting a little nervous about the return trip. You know how you're on a vacation and or on the weekend for us normal people that work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, there's some point in the weekend when you realize, hey, Monday, 9 a.m., I got to go to work. So this the fun that I'm having is going to end. And I just started feeling that today. I'm like, oh, crap, I got to go back.
Yeah, I understand. I had off last, like, 3 days of work. Two of them were doctor's appointments, one for my oldest son, one for my youngest son. Sometimes it's a good mental exercise to just not go to work. Yeah. I do have an update on the HDMI capture device. It's not bad, but it's also not great. I will say there will be a link in the notes to this item. This is the one I currently have, the Magewell USB 3.0 HDMI video capture dongle. It's the line in the notes 639. This is the third capture device
I had.
Oh
my gosh. Well, $300.
Yeah, because I bought a $100 one that said it was Linux compatible. The 2 days before I got it, I got an email through Amazon from the company saying, make sure that I update the firmware before I start to use it. Apparently, they've had a lot of complaints for people getting the device and either the firmware was either corrupt or didn't work right, whatever. So I go to their website. They only have Windows downloads to update the firmware, to which I then kindly ask them, what are the instructions to upgrade this on Linux? Their response was, it's very easy, borrow a friend's Windows computer or go over a friend's house. And to immediately try to cut the conversation as short as I possibly can, my response was simply, I run Linux, comma, I don't have any friends, hard return, please take my name off of all future emails, please. And of course they respond, well, there has to be somebody you know that runs Linux.
Windows, you mean?
Yeah, then Windows. So I said another email, I'm stating this for the second time now, please take me off any and all list, I'm returning your item. Because, here's the thing, yes, I have plenty of people that run Windows. I could run Windows here. I don't want to. It isn't a have to. It isn't a, you know, I can't find somebody to do it. The last thing I want to do is inconvenience anybody that I know to say, hey, you have Windows machine in house, right? Could you load this untrusted software that we've both never heard of before onto your Windows device and then update it? No, I'm not doing that. If you don't completely support Linux, I then don't completely support you. That's the logic of it.
And what do they say? What was it about unreasonable people changing the world?
I don't know.
There's some sort of saying, reasonable people, whatever, unreasonable people change the world, something like that.
Gotcha. So then I bought a second one. And then after I bought that one, it said Linux support. I then did research after I bought it. I bought it. That one's like $140, $150. I bought it. And then basically a year ago, something broke in to where you have to run an old kernel in order. No.
Oh, jeez.
Thankfully, I was able to cancel that one before it even got to the house. So then I did a lot more research. And when I found this one, again, Magewell USB 3.0 HDMI video capture dongle, I actually went to their website, and their website said explicitly all Linux kernels like 3.9 and up, some number like that. So I felt good. I still feel good about this one. I got it in the mail yesterday. Inside of the package is literally like a 8-inch USB 3.0 cable.
8-inch, yeah.
It's ridiculous. I spent $300 and they chintzed the USB cable. So it's been sitting in the box. I purchased an 8-foot USB 3.0 cable, and I got it today. Haven't had any time to play with it. So hopefully I'll be able to test it out. The only downside is there's only one HDMI port on this device, which means it doesn't do pass through, which means if I want to watch the video on a monitor, I'm going to have to get an HDMI HDCP compliant splitter.
Oh, crap.
Which I'm going to try to not do is right, launch. Right. I'm going to try not to do that. So I'm going to test this thing out hopefully here in the next couple of days and know if it's working right or not. The really, the only reason now I ever buy from Amazon ever is when I want as painless as possible of a return policy. Because
oh yeah, they're good.
Well, I'm not even going to say they're good. I will say they're better than most places.
Oh yeah.
It matters if you buy it from a genuine Amazon service or from a third party, because third parties can post their products there. But they're never the cheapest anymore. Anytime I look around, they are always handsomely more expensive. And the last at least dozen times I've bought anything, it's never gotten here within 2 days, even though there's an Amazon fulfillment center right outside Baltimore, Maryland. And I'm less than 19 miles outside Baltimore. So
with a trebuchet, they could get it to your house.
If they gave a crap, yes, they could get it here very easily. So now when my Amazon Prime expires, I'm not renewing it, of course. But of course, they're going to renew it, and I'm going to have to call up and complain. And I'm now doing everything in my power to not buy anything from Amazon unless it's literally the last choice, partially for a couple reasons. As far as I can tell, Bezos and Amazon aren't doing anything that I can tell as being the right thing for computing in general or for humanity in general. They're just doing right in the sense of what's good for him, what's good for the company. And as much money as Jeff is making, there's no reason why he can't do just better.
So you know how I quite often talk about being a recovering gamer? I'm like, I'm tapping my vein in my arm, like, more Amazon now. I would not. If you told me I had to go cold turkey on Amazon or, you know, stab someone, I'd probably stab someone.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. It isn't easy. It isn't something that I do just out of the blue. This has been literally almost a year coming where I've been checking stuff out, making sure I use sites like Camel, just to make sure that, you know, what I'm getting isn't a complete ripoff, and you know, I'm trying to do the right thing, and I'm trying to do the right thing by my family. And the more I look at it, the more that they're just not doing anything really good for the consumer anymore. Their Amazon Prime, I mean, their video selection is at best mediocre.
I almost don't watch the videos.
Well, almost nothing you want is there. And if it is, it costs you an extra like $1.50, which is a discount, but if I'm already paying Prime, my logic is I shouldn't have to pay for it. I don't use Amazon Music. 99.9999% of the things I purchase are already enough money to qualify for the 2-day shipping free thing. So when I want cables and stuff, I go to Mono Price. When I need a lot of other stuff, I will literally go to eBay. Now on eBay, I have to do a little bit more research, but so far I'm happy with what I'm seeing.
So, okay, I'm looking at this thing, and it says stream to Twitch, YouTube, Ustream, and that seems to be the magic, you know, because if you're going to be going to those, that's the high-end stuff. It says 1080p, which looks good. Now, I'm looking at the picture. It shows looks like an HDMI cable in and an HDMI cable out. So you said it doesn't have pass-through?
Sorry. So on one side it's HDMI, and the other side it's actually USB-A, full-size USB, but it's USB 3. So I had to get a USB-A to USB-A cable, which isn't the most common thing.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I should have picked that up because it's blue. And okay, it does say convert HDMI signals to USB 3.
Yeah. And on the other ones I saw that looked good, they listed a lot of different resolutions. The only thing that scared me about this one was they basically are just very blanket in their statement. We do HDMI. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping it isn't going to be picky with the resolution of it, but it does say up to 1920 by 1080 RGB or YUY. RGB is 60 frames a second. YUY is 75 frames a second. It's the kind of thing I really hope that's enough.
Should be good.
Yeah, and actually it does say it can capture resolutions up to 2048 by 2160. I guess that's a lower frame rate is what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. And the last of, and I was looking at more than a couple Android devices, Rich, because we have talked about standalone bootable operating systems that have HDMI pass-through and stuff like that. On those devices, it seemed like it would be very easy to do video capture on that device. But the more I looked at it, if I was able to do video streaming what that device was capturing, I don't think I would have gotten the audio off of that stream the more I looked at it. So, more than a couple people corrected me, explainingcomputers.com, that guy. Told me to look at his stuff. I swore he was the guy that I contacted like 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, asking him about how did he capture his videos. And I thought he said Windows. It must have been somebody else I was talking about, because he then put out a video showing his video capture, and his video capture was on an $800+ piece of hardware. Yeah. So
somebody's making money at what they do, or really loves what they do.
Or both. Yeah, and I'll say this in the nicest way possible, because I really do like his videos. I like what he does. I like how he does it. But certain things that he does, it's a little bit painfully obvious to me that he does not completely understand how computers work. A benchmark is only measuring the benchmark itself. There is no real world thing you can gather from a benchmark. And here's the good, for instance. A lot of times, if you copy 2 gigs of big files, like it only being one file or 2 files, you will see completely different speeds if you then try to copy 20 million small files that equal 2 gigs.
Absolutely.
And every time he does data speed rates, he only tests one file that's 2 gig, and he believes that's the number to give everybody. When you do I/O, you have to test multiple file sizes in order to get an idea of the actual speed, because everyone's use case is going to be slightly different, and he just tests one file.
Well, and that's why in the Linux world, you would tar something up before you move it. Like if you have a directory with a bunch of small files or maybe log files, if you tar them into one file and then move it, it's going to move a lot quicker than if you did it the other way around.
Gotcha. Not sure what's going on with this stream, but it looks like this stream stopped. We're going to keep going, though. Yeah. Now, with that said, 99.99% of the stuff he talks about from a very educated point of view, and as far as I can tell, a very accurate point of view. Here's something else I noticed. Rich, are you ready for this?
For sure.
Okay, I've been trying to tell my kid the difference between facts, truths, and beliefs. As far as I'm concerned, they're three completely different things. Whenever I believe this. This is a belief. This is not a fact or a truth. I believe that whenever somebody looks at something and they don't see a bias in what they're looking at, there is a bias. It's just that the bias agrees with what you believe.
Correct.
Okay. And the reason I say that is because when I watch things and I think that there is no bias, I have to be careful with what I suggest people to watch. Explaining computers, when I watch his stuff, I see that he doesn't match up completely with my beliefs. So when he does the like, disk IO thing, I then think to myself, I can't share this video out because to me, there's a little bit of untruth going on in here. With that said, I watch every damn video he does. So it's good stuff.
And, you know, I was responding to somebody today about a YouTube video. They had a question and I quick typed out a response. And then I'm like, you know, if he's not plugged into my brain, he may think a couple other things. So I made sure it was explicitly clear and, you know, really filled it out as opposed to giving a short answer. I'm like, because people may not get the right impression or the right understanding of what you're trying to communicate.
Yeah, and it is hard to clearly say everything you're trying to say in just clear text. No, emojis don't help, but, you know.
Well, the thing is that you're a lot of times you're talking to an audience, like if Dor and I are talking, we have a vast overlap in our knowledge, and it's very easy to talk in very short, terse ways and communicate the whole fact. Whereas when you're communicating out to an audience, sometimes you really need to spell it all out because you don't know where your overlap of common experiences and knowledge are.
Yeah, and it requires a little bit more talking. And here's just what I'll finish with on the video capture stuff. There is a URL that was gifted to me called lennoxcaster.com. That's the place where I'm going to want to put the videos. And here's the real thing. I'm 99.99% sure I'm not going to host any of the videos on YouTube at all, period. I'm already paying for a Podbean account. And on the Podbean account, I'm supposedly have unlimited audio and video storage and unlimited audio and video streaming.
Wow.
So I'm probably going to look at using that, which means, unfortunately, I'm going to have a comment system on the website enabled. Mm-hmm. Of course, allowing email feedback as well, which means I'm probably going to only cache every comment and okay what I want to okay kind of thing, or else it's the internet. You know what I mean? Bodie McMost, Boatface and stuff will like roll it over. So that's the site where it's going to be. I'm not sure how it's going to work out. I'm not sure how it's going to look at, but that's the target goal of the content. And the main reason I don't want to put anything on YouTube is Google makes enough damn money. They don't need my content. They don't need my money. I don't want them. I don't need them. If people want to watch the videos, they'll come to my website and watch the videos. If they don't want to come to the website and watch my videos, good, get away. Keep watching PewDiePie videos or something else on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, I got a slightly different take on that, but I'm not going to go into it.
Well, and that's the thing. This is just one of my beliefs. None of it is truth. None of it is fact. It's just the only reason I stream this show to YouTube, for instance, is because I get a live backup recording. So right now, if my whole computer systems die, I still have something recorded that I can salvage.
I need to talk about death with you.
Well, you know, when I die, I die. I'm not going to care anymore. I'm going to be dead.
I've kind of had a death in the family.
Oh, that sucks.
My crash plan isn't working. I think I deleted a directory. And in my infinite wisdom, I had multiple backups of the micro SD card, but not one of the full-fledged working backup that I've been able to find. So I think I've got to do a little bit of a reorg in my thought process, and I've got to have, you know, like a notebook USB drive, not a thumb drive, because those are pretty volatile, but something that I'm going to format in Linux. Maybe a 1 or 2 terabyte drive because they're super cheap, and put the image files, like do a monthly, bi-monthly, whatever backup of all of my devices. So I have all of the configurations and I can just restore, you know, I can restore to a point in time that I desire, because right now, whatever I'm doing isn't working right.
Gotcha. And I got the stream back up. So sorry, everyone who's watching this on YouTube. So Here's the stupidest question of all, Rich. Did you not crash plan your crash plan?
Kind of like that. I mean, I do have backups of it, but not after it was fully configured.
Ah, see, that's the whole thing. That's what I hate. With all these mini computers, we make the same mistakes people made on routers for years, which is as soon as everything is up and running, you have a nasty habit of saying to yourself, I don't want to touch it now because it's working. Get away from me. I'm done.
On my Google Drive, I have a conf directory, and I put all the configs for my routers up there and other devices.
Right. What we need to do is, when we get these mini computers up and running fine, is when we need to eject the card out of it and then image that card.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've said it for over a year, and guess how many times I've actually done it, Rich?
You haven't done it.
Not once. Because, you know, it's running. I don't want to touch it. It's running. Right. It's running fine.
Right. Yep. Yeah, it's like scooping up data. It's doing some process. Dude, all right. You know what? You got me thinking about this. Because I definitely got to back up my Haspian, because I'm liking where my Haspian's at. I know I have a backup. I have no idea where it is. And I've got to see, the problem is you have like 4 gig, 8 gig, 16 gigs, 32 gig SD cards. And typically your file size, even if you do a compression on it, is going to be in the 8 gig area. So you can't burn a DVD with it because that's 4.7 gig unless you have some fancy dual layer or whatever. So you're really into either a thumb drive, which I don't trust the stability of thumb drives. I've had very bad experiences. And the notebook drives, you know, so it's USB 3.0 connected 2.5-inch laptop drives that are in a case that don't require external power. I've had good stability with those. So I'm thinking I got to dedicate one and just make it my backup of my, you know, Pi type devices drive.
Yeah. When you do the DD of the SD cards, unfortunately, empty space is still written as ones and zeros. Right. So that's huge. The only option, and here's the problem, if you mount the SD card in a full computer, you can try to GR sync it or R sync it. Then you typically can come across permissions issues or there's multiple partitions on that SD card, right. And then doing the rsync, you're not going to get all the partitions.
Right.
So it's really difficult to try to get that one perfect way to do it. You can try to use clonezilla even, but I don't think it's going to work exactly as, let's just say, everyone would expect it to without any issues.
Right.
I'm glancing at the notes real quick, Rich. Were there any one of those topics that you felt needed to be talked about first?
Yeah. Since we're talking backup, where was I? I know I had entered some notes here. All right. Well, I'm not sure what line it is, but I did come across something again, DietPi, which was kind of surprised me. As if I'm not the biggest DietPi fanboy on the planet, I am sorry if I've annoyed people with it, but I learned something new about DietPi. So if you go to DietPi on the downloads, there's a basically roll your own.
So if you go to DietPi.com, click on download.
And then click other device.
Yeah.
And if you click on it, it says convert any Debian image into a DietPi system. So maybe you have a board and you can run Debian on it and you can load DietPi. Because what I initially did with the ROC64, the ROC chip board, is I threw Armbian on it. And Armbian recognized, so I've got this dongle and it's got, it's a USB 3 dongle and it has a 3-port USB 3 hub on it and it also has gigabit Ethernet. And the Armbian recognized the gigabit Ethernet and the USB hub, where DietPi did not recognize the gigabit Ethernet and only recognized the USB 3 hub. And my initial install of DietPi was less than stellar performance. And what ended up happening is I you know, flashed another card. You know, I kept the two cards. I flashed another card with Armbian, and Armbian, you know, that the USB dongle and the Cat 5 worked, which I was all excited about, and the performance was good with Plex. But then I went to install Sonar and Radar and all of those things, and what a foo! I got foobarred beyond belief. It was awful. I could not get Sonar Radar running. I had Plex running. It was running good. And then I switched back to DietPi, and I did an apt update, and all of a sudden, I don't know if there were better drivers or whatever, but I was getting significantly better performance out of it running DietPi. But I didn't realize until I was at the Hughes Compound Southern Command and away from the Rockchip 64 that I could have installed the DietPi basically installation libraries or scripts onto Armbian and, you know, probably just loaded up all of the things I wanted to load and it'd work. Now, I haven't tried this out and had a good success with it. I did monkey around with my Banana Pro, and I wasn't successful in getting this other device script to work. But I'm hoping it would work in Armbian, and I may give that a try.
Well, here's what I feel confident in saying. If you just load up any Debian and just install packages from their official Debian repos, it should translate over to working fine in any DietPi kind of thing, is the logic. It's mm-hmm. once you actually have anything custom compiled in the kernel, like drivers for anything, or if you manually install any deb files that aren't in their repos or something like that, is where you get random chance where, you know, it might work, it might not work at all. It depends on if it's trying to actually use x86 architecture explicitly or not. And as a user, I don't know how we would know that.
Gotcha. Yeah, so my initial impression, and I think they've had an update since. So DietPi on the Rock 64, so we might be talking N-1 as far as revisions, or N-2 as quick as they go by the time you hear this podcast, wasn't so good with the Plex Sonar Radar. After doing apt update and upgrade, I got decent performance. I still think the hardware is much more capable than what I'm experiencing.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I did see the other option in the download section of the DietPi website, but I never clicked it, so I didn't know.
Yeah, I had no idea. And what's working again is the DietPi, is it DietPiText.txt, where you can put all of your configs in. So you could enter your, and I uploaded that to my Google Drive also. So you can put your default password in, you can put Wi-Fi networks you want it to join, you can put packages that you want to load by default. And you just edit that text file in the DOS partition, and then you plug it in, and boom, it goes. So you could have a Pi0W, and it would join your network, you know, your wireless network and everything after boot. So you can completely headless, no keyboard, no mouse, no monitor, no nothing. You don't even have to have a router where it identifies the new device, and you can look up the IP. It'll just, boom, configure itself and be set.
Gotcha.
So my other problem, so I've got the Odroid XU4 here at the Hughes Compound Southern Command in the data center in a drawer, and I'm stuck on the old DietPi, so the 1.5X, and it's now 1.6X, and there's no upgrade process. And the core items I have are, you know, Sonar, Radar, Plex, Transmission, and I've also compiled the ARM Debian package for, oh gosh, now I got to remember. What is the protocol for time capsule? It's Avahi? Yeah, Avahi.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, that's not a regular Debian package. And I had to compile that. And we're kind of talking about this maybe in prior episodes or just maybe offline, that you didn't think it would work from one distro to another. And it did, you know, different flavors of ARM. And it has, so I'm pretty excited about that. So now I'm not sure, because the Rock 64, I'm sorry, the Odroid XU4, that's 64-bit, right?
I thought it was, yes.
So I'm not sure if the new DietPi 64-bit and the Avahi was compiled for 32-bit, if it'll still run right. That's one of my questions. And so I was thinking about popping the SD card. Oh, actually, it's on the eMMC. So that makes it a little bit more of a rub. So, yeah, I may not... We're talking about this offline. I may just do apt updates on it from now on.
Gotcha. I can't blame you on that. Yeah, looking at the Hard Kernel website, the official Odroid page, it says the 2.0 Cortex A15 cores and much higher 64-bit memory bandwidth. So I'm going to say it is a 64-bit processor.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense.
Gotcha. Okay, the elephant in the room to the people who are well-versed on the mini market, I'll say line 635 in the notes, Rich. I'll just put it like this. Everything to a group of people can be good news or bad news. Perspective defines everything. Okay. For the first time ever, Microsoft will distribute its own version of Linux. They're going to release a thing called Azure Sphere, S-P-H-E-R-E, and it is a custom-compiled Linux kernel micro-architecture operating system. They were very clear in the PR announcement or at the conference where they first made this. They said, there's no way the Windows kernel is at all applicable for this kind of usage. Now, in their original unveiling, the three points that they wanted to make very clear was number one, that Microsoft has designed a more powerful kind of microprocessor that the company says it will make available to chip manufacturers for free. Rich, what kind of corporation, privately owned corporation, you know what I mean, with like shareholders, does things for free?
Facebook?
Genius ones is what I say. Because it comes at a price. The price just isn't money. Okay, I'll stop that part there. Second thing that they wanted to point out was Microsoft has developed Azure Sphere OS, the Linux-based operating system that will run on those chips. Smith says, while Microsoft is a Windows company, a full-fledged version of its flagship OS was too big and unwieldy for what it had in mind. AKA, it was not in any shape, way, or form doable to take the Windows kernel, which is essentially the same kernel they've had since like Windows 95 second edition, and micro it down to run on these small processors, which they already have Microsoft Windows RT running on ARM processors. So that should be a warning flag to end users. If you buy Windows ARM, you don't expect good performance versus other operating systems on those same chips.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, here's the third. And here's why, if you are a Microsoft shareholder, stockholder, or you work at Microsoft, this is one of the best moves I can say this company has made in 20 years. The third thing is the chip OS will be integrated with Azure Sphere Cloud, so ubiquitous connectivity baked into it, which will connect to Azure Sphere Cloud security services designed to keep the device up to date with security patches for at least 10 years. And that is the one failing that everybody else does not, I guess, understand with everything IoT. You buy something and a split second you buy it, it's not supported anymore because they want you to buy something else. Mm-hmm. So the last thing individual companies want to do is update software. Well, now if they get this free chip design from Microsoft, they get their own chips made, they put this Azure Sphere on it, they don't have to spend a penny on doing any updates to the system, and Microsoft will take care of this for patching for at least 10 years.
Whew, that's this, a big deal.
This is a huge deal. This is going to make this company a lot of money. If their share price, stock price has not went up, I will be deathly shocked. For years, they've had the stock price that doesn't change. This should have made it went up, because as far as I can tell, if what they're saying in those three statements is honest and true, and they're going to follow through with it, they are going to completely corner the market and have vendor lock in on so many realms of IoT. It is going to literally be disgusting.
That's pretty, it could make the Raspberry Pi into what came before Facebook?
MySpace.
It could make the Raspberry Pi the same as MySpace.
Which I'll say is, I don't want to say ironic, because that's not an overused word. This week, I did actually read an article, which of course I didn't read an article. I had my computer read it to me, on Exo one laptop per child.
Oh, geez.
Thing. And the whole, in the nicest way, I'll say fiasco that happened because of that, and how the main guy behind it, his attitude got a little bit in the way. He overpromised in a little bit of a way and just couldn't produce in the way that he wanted to. And then it turned out he needed more support that he just couldn't get. So it didn't work out really very good at all. And the Raspberry Pi essentially came out of nowhere, and it completely now takes care of that market, that third party market, the countries that can't afford $1 million establishments of schools or infrastructure. Schools can go in, and from the guy I know who does it firsthand, for under $3,500, they can have a complete infrastructure installed for complete computing in a environment, monitors, keyboards, Raspberry Pis, and a main server as the backbone. Something that the one laptop per child just could not do. The Raspberry Pi has done. And with this IoT thing, it's going to infringe on a lot of other market share, is the word I'm going to use.
Well, how great would the Pinebook be, or like a refreshed Pinebook be as an OLP?
It could be really good, but the current way that they have it designed, the current way they have it made, I don't see it being moderately successful in their own eyes. It needs to be upgradable in some shape, way, or form, whether it be a compute module or something that you can insert mm-hmm. and keep upgrading. I don't know if that would be the one thing to make them right, but there's something that they're missing in that hardware form factor, because
so close.
It is, but mine got busted when I got rear-ended. The insurance company never paid me for it. I called them at least a dozen times. They kept telling me, well, you didn't contact the right party, so it wasn't documented, so we have to document it. A dozen times they told me that. I honestly believe every time I told them it was a $100 laptop, they thought they were getting scammed, so they didn't want to believe me. It's the only thing I could think of.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. I haven't bought another one. It's only $100. I could go buy another one. It was so underwhelming, to be honest. I don't feel that I gave them $100. I supported Pine. Whatever they did with that $100, I hope they liked it, because I'm not buying a backup one.
I'll tell you what, if they come out with a ROG 64 version of that, I'm getting it.
I can't say I won't. I can say I would be hesitant to, but I probably would.
This isn't a Pinebook show, but two quips that I had about it were the speakers were inaudible, might as well just not have had speakers, and the trackpad was pretty pitiful.
The only thing I liked about the trackpad was I didn't have to look down to know if I was touching the trackpad. It had a different texture, mm-hmm. but I will say the accuracy of the trackpad was not great. No. The speakers, they might as well not put speakers in.
Right.
So IoT as we know it has changed forever. Okay. If this thing comes to fruition and this chip actually comes out, it's free for security updates. What manufacturer does not want to put on the outside of their package 10 years of security updates? that will be instant sales.
So your next ARM device is going to say Intel inside?
Well, not Intel, unless Intel buys them out.
I mean, I'm sorry. I did that wrong.
It will say...
Powered by Microsoft?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, so I'll just put it like this. I don't know where the market's going to be for enthusiasts like us in 8 months, 16 months, 32 months. I'm going to guess the number of boards that we see, the number of people working on operating systems we see, is going to have to go down. I have to believe that's going to have to go down, because the more that Microsoft pushes into this market, the more they're going to say to everybody, you don't have to worry about it. We got this taken care of. And if history is any example, the one thing Microsoft cannot do right is even spell the word security. They can promise it all day long, but the actual being secure, I have no problem waging my entire career that it will not be a secure device. It will have periods where it's secure, but for the most part, it will not be secure. If anybody can mess up Linux security, pretty sure it's Microsoft. So, Rich, I don't know if there's anything else. There's actually two articles I'm going to have in the notes for this. One article, they talk about those three pillars, I'll say, to this being successful. And the second article, they actually go into what they believe the chip is going to be. And just a little bit of more details on it. But all that we need to know as end users is it's going to be a FPGA type of programmable chip, it looks like. They say it's going to be a Cortex-M class processor. Oh, man, this is going to be a bad time, I believe. And, you know, to me, the announcement of this also, the timing of it is maybe the worst ever with all this Cambridge Analytica, Facebook. Every reporter using the word breach, in my opinion, needs to be chastised. There is no breach. This is exactly how everything in Facebook was intended to be used.
Right. And it worked.
And yeah, it worked successfully. Now, imagine having 10 devices in your network all connected to Microsoft. All connected to the Azure cloud, all part of the user agreement sharing your data with Microsoft Azure. So then we have Amazon fighting to have your data, Facebook getting overwhelmed by data, Google being overwhelmed by data, and this is Microsoft's honest to goodness, really smart move to get their own subsection of everyone's data. They're all shooting for different brackets of that data stream, but as far as I'm concerned, for them it was a very smart move. For users, it is a very bad thing. Absolutely.
So I don't know if I'm different than other people, but I constantly rail about, you know, if you don't have root, you don't own it, and those types of things, and open source, etc. I was a little hesitant in the 8-camera security system I put in. I did test it. I blocked its internet access and I could connect to it locally. And then I opened up its internet access and I could connect to it remotely. Now, I'd rather not connect to it remotely. I'd rather VPN into my own network. And actually, the speeds are better when I do that. So that's typically how I access it. And I may just, you know, turn it off so it doesn't phone home or anywhere else. I'd rather not have things connected, or rather be able to choose myself that they are or are not connected.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Unfortunately, if this is Star Trek The Next Generation, you are Geordi LaForge, and you're the only person on the ship who actually knows how everything works. Everyone else is just users.
Wait, I had that conversation today. I liked the internet when it was dangerous and when only geeks did it.
Yeah. When I tell people why I'm not on Facebook, A, it's filled with people from school that I didn't want to hang out with then, number one. Number two, the largest segment growing on Facebook for 2 years now has been over 55-year-olds. I don't want to hang with them. And I'm officially old now. I'm 45 years old, so I can say that and not be ageist. I just don't want to spend my off time, quote unquote, with grandparents.
Oh, come on. I you know what I do a lot of times on Facebook is if my mother-in-law was part of the South Florida Dachshund Rescue, if I see Dachshund videos, I post them on her page. And so, yes, I guess I'm exactly exemplifying what you said about the group that's growing the fastest.
Yeah, see, in everything on Imgur and Reddit that involves a pet, I immediately downvote or thumbs down because there's enough of that on the internet. Let's be constructive. I feel like Steve Jobs, I believe it was Steve Jobs walking into a meeting and there's two people there chatting about what happened this weekend. And he said, okay, let's bring this meeting up a notch. Let's not talk about pets all day. Let's talk about something a little bit more relevant, a little bit more important. And now, I won't lie, if it's a good bird thing, I'll downvote it, but I'll at least share it with you.
Yeah, I haven't checked out a good cat video recently.
Oh, no, I'm totally done with cats. Line 633 in the notes, Rich. This isn't official yet, but it's getting close. I've said more than a couple times that there is no official full version of Android for the Raspberry Pi for a lot of reasons. Okay. And if it ever becomes official, it's going to help the Raspberry Pi an unbelievable amount, is what I want to say. An insane amount of more people are going to be buying this if they know they can put a real solid Android version on it. Not some version that some kid in his basement compiled, but an actual official version. And there's links in the notes. They're on developer preview number 8. On the official developer.android.com website, where they're compiling and they're getting it all working right and tight and nice on the Raspberry Pi. Now, it wouldn't shock me if Google is Google. They have ulterior motives for doing this. It wouldn't shock me if once they get this thing tweaked just right, they're going to offer something with this version of Android on it, but with an extra little special sauce for some either extra performance or extra usage or extra something that normal users would like to have. If I would like for this to become real, just because then I would have a real reason to buy Raspberry Pi B Plus 3, but right now I don't. So this might be real, but we're already in developer preview 8. I don't know how many more developer previews they need, but I would think 8 is enough.
Uh-huh.
Pun intended. Yeah, so this might become real sooner or later. It's still not really real. It's just a developer preview, but I will encourage everyone, keep your eyes out, because if this does become real, it's going to be like everybody's going to be doing YouTube videos on it, and everyone's going to be doing custom enclosures for all kinds of either game playing, Netflix viewing, Kodi boxes, or whatever, because it should work better than virtually every other device out there, because they are not running officially supported Android on most of them. They're running something that some company put together, hacked together. Okay, Rich, we've been going for about an hour. Is there any thing in the notes you wanted to bring up?
Let's see. What is it? It is line 631. So the title is The Answers to Your Questions for Ibn Upton. So let's see. So it says Raspberry Pi creator Ibn Upton. So I just want to make sure everybody knows who he is. And I just kind of scrolled through this. In one of the things, it says, hey, any 64-bit Raspbian? And pretty much it sounds like, well, he says not yet is the short answer. And that's a shame because the Raspberry Pi 3 is 64-bit, and there are other operating systems like SUSE Linux that you can put on it that's a full 64-bit operating system. The good thing about, and now this is getting into like the Microsoft 8086 type rat hole, is that if right now the coolest thing about the Raspberry Pi is whether you have a 0, a 1, 2, 3, it doesn't matter. You can pull the card out and drop it in the any other device, and it'll run. Maybe it's not going to run great. Like, there are some things that you need the CPU horsepower of, like, a Pi 2 or Pi 3 to do. But, yes, you could run Hasbian on your Pi 0W or Hasbian on your Pi 3. It runs exactly the same. So there is that nice interoperability, but I think they may need to step up the game because there are other 64-bit operating systems out there that do run on the Pi 3, and since it is a 64-bit architecture, that would be important.
Yeah, I'm not a huge guy saying everything has to be 64-bit, but if the processor 64-bit, my logic is you better have a good reason why you're not doing 64-bit, because you only have a gig of RAM, so all of the shortcomings I know don't exist. You know what I mean? There's no real reason, as far as I can tell, that they are not doing it. I will say the only bad thing about this article is, one, it's painfully obvious he okayed all the questions. This was not in any shape mm-hmm. or form an AMA. This is not everyone asking questions. Literally only like four questions got asked. Any plans for 64-bit Raspbian? Not yet, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. Given that the 3B Plus has a 5 gigahertz wireless and PoE support, why would manufacturers use the compute module? It's a form factor thing. What are some of the industries using the Raspberry Pis? The NEC display is like the only example he gives. Why is there no power button on the Raspberry Pi? Once you start, where do you stop? What the hell kind of answer is that? And then the last one, do you think the Raspberry Pi is the future of the Internet of Things? Absolutely, Raspberry Pi is the future of Internet of Things. Well, I'm going to take for granted this interview was before the Microsoft announcement, because no, it's not the future of Internet of Things. It's the future of hackers or hobbyist Internet of Things. It's not in any shape, way, or form any formal center of the Internet of Things. It's much more a third world school education thing, not an Internet of Things. So
mm-hmm.
I believe bookmarked this as well, because it's good to hear what he has to say, but I was not happy with all of his answers. I'm happy that he is answering questions, but I'm not happy with the answers. And it took 43 minutes for him to answer those four questions that Ouch. Literally take like a minute and a half to answer.
Yeah, you know, if you're a fanboy, watch. If you're not, just read the Q&A.
Yeah, and I'll say he's a cool guy. He seems like a really nice guy, and he's obviously a really smart guy, but I really worry when the next year, where's the Raspberry Pi going to be? Because it's one of those things. There's three types of management styles you can have. There's the management style that can bring something from nothing to being a success. There's the second, where you can take something that is successful and make it the best thing ever. And then there's the third management style, where you can remain steady and not lose any kind of traction. I don't see the Raspberry Pi maintaining any of those three styles of management for the next year. I only see them, to be quite honest, losing a little bit of traction.
Well, and I would jump to agree with you, but I'm going to bring up Beta versus VHS. VHS won, and it was an inferior standard. So we have right now, for the same price, you can get the Rockchip 64 from Pine, and it's a completely superior product than the Raspberry Pi 3, even at the same price. And for $10 more, you can get double the RAM, and for, I don't know, if it's another $10 or $20 more, you can get double that. You get 4 gigs, so it comes in 1, 2, and 4 gigs. You're getting one hell of a product for $35, equivalent to a Pi 3 dollars. And for $10 more, you're getting double the RAM, which that's a no-brainer.
I agree to that. The only thing I'll say is convenience in America, or at least first mm-hmm. world countries, trumps everything.
Which is where I bring out the Beta versus VHS, is while the inferior standard won, I don't know everybody, or the majority of people that know about IoT devices or single board computing will know what a Raspberry Pi is. Some small fraction of that would know what a Pine is.
Well, and what I think is that in a year from now, or 18 months from now, or 24 months from now, the Microsoft Azure Sphere chips will be literally selling 1,000 times more than any of our mini cumum pewters will be.
Very, you know, that is kind of scary.
Yes, but and I hope I'm wrong. I'd love it if I'm wrong. And everyone, you can email me and tell me how I'm wrong. But I think what they did for themselves was very smart. And I don't see any single board manufacturer being able to compete with saying 10 years of security updates. Because as far as I know, nobody is maintaining their own operating system. No single board computer is truly maintaining their own operating system. They're all taking Debian and rebranding it. Everybody. So it's Debian that's doing the actual maintenance mm-hmm. of it, not them.
So now here's the other thing. Asus came in with the Tinkerboard. Now, what is the price on the Tinkerboard? I don't want an exact one. I don't recall.
I believe $70.
But it's not $70 worth of mini computer. It's, I would say, $40 worth of mini computer.
It's 61 at the low end, 77 at the high end.
So in the $77 range, we're talking about Odroid XU4.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And it would have to be at least that good. And when you think, I would expect if I bought something from Asus, it would rock. And again, I haven't been hands on with it, nor do I want to be, just based on what I read about it.
Well, the only thing it has going for it is very high resolution and frame rate on video output. So if you insist on having true 4K video, it's hard to beat the performance, at least that I see other people get with the Tinkerboard. I don't even have a 4K monitor. I don't want a 4K monitor or a 4K TV. So for me to get that would be, I don't want to say pointless, but I wouldn't be able to get the benefit of it.
Gotcha. Yeah, we do have one 4K TV.
Gotcha. Yeah, we've been going on for over an hour, Rich. If people want to catch up with you, what's the easiest way?
FlyingRich.com for my social media hub. You can see all the goodness, all the badness, and what I've been up to.
And if you would like to watch us live, do not forget to send us an email at minipcshow@podnuts.com. I have no problem hooking you up with a link to catch this. If you want to be in our Mattermost server, which is like a private IRC server, invite only, or you can join us on Discord, which is the chat for gamers, even though it ain't gaming. If you want to hook up with us, there's other ways you can do it. You can either send me an email directly, mail@podnuts.com, or you can send us a voicemail at 7076podnut. And again, I want to thank everyone for their support on Patreon. And because of them, we do not have any advertisements. You can easily help us keep it that way by going there and supporting us. And with that, we will talk to everyone in about a week.
This is Martin from Podnuts Pro. Thank you so much for choosing this podcast to be in your ears right now. Don't forget to support all the other Podnuts shows on the Podnuts Network. And we cannot do this without you. So please, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, email us at podnutspro@podnuts.com.